97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. What is it, Thursday? It's Thursday, isn't it? Wow. Yes. It feels like, like a Friday morning in October out there. It's 50. My truck said 52 degrees.
You need, maybe I'm just being a baby, but you need a light jacket. If you're going to be spending any time outside this morning, I'm telling you,
yeah,
grab a light jacket.
I would say your kids might need even a light jacket at the bus stop if they got to go out there early this morning. It's going to warm up nicely, but still, I mean, when Carl and I are in the pool a little later this morning, it's going to be, thank God it's heated. That's
oh, is
all
it
I can
heated?
Say.
Yeah, that is nice.
I'm just saying.
I did bring my suit, by
did
the way.
You? Good, good. Carl and I've got an invitation to go over to, it's City Place, right? Isn't that what they're calling it?
One Cardinal Way.
Cardinal Way. Yeah, I've got a friend who has invited us over there. He's got one of those apartments that overlooks the ballpark. And apparently on game day games like this, they sit out in the pool and have an adult beverage and watch the game.
Out of curiosity, do you know how much those apartments are renting for?
No clue.
Out of my range.
probably mine as well.
No clue. So it's like having a friend with a boat is better than having a boat.
Right. You don't have to take care of it. You just get to use the amenity.
Thank you. Having a friend with an apartment at Cardinal Way is better than owning one, in my opinion.
Whenever I've gone to those games, which I've only gone to a couple since that's been built, but I always look up and I'm like, that would be cool. Being able to be in the pool and actually overlooking the game, and that's going to be a cool experience.
Yep. We're looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. Thanks to Smitty for inviting us over today, and we're looking forward to that just a little bit later this morning. We have more Steve Winwood and Doobie Brother tickets to give away today. We're going to do that this hour, so that's a little bit of a bonus for those of you who tune into the Mark Cox Morning Show early. You don't sleep in. You're not one of these slackers that doesn't get up till 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a bonus this morning because you'll get a chance to win some Doobie Brothers tickets and Steve Winwood tickets. So who's the lead there, Carl?
The Doobie Brothers.
It's the Doobie Brothers with Steve Winwood.
Yes, Steve Winwood is opening up. And he was the first artist to play out at what was then called Riverport.
Really?
With Robert Cray opening up for him.
The very first one?
Yes.
What year would that have been?
92.
All right. Let's see. Little rock history for you there. I still call it Riverbend.
It was a long time
on occasion.
Ago.
It was a long...
No, Riverbend is in Cincinnati.
Riverport. Yeah. I obviously have been to both, so I apologize for screwing that up there. Did you watch Bill Clinton last night?
I did. He sounded like he was struggling. Did he not?
Here's what I want. This is what I... Before the day is over, you will see this meme. I don't know how to build it myself, but you're going to see it. He reminded everybody last night that even though he's old, he's still younger than Donald Trump.
I heard that. I'm like, you're kidding.
Put a side-by-side picture of those two next to each other, and you tell me why Bill Clinton looks so much worse. Then add a picture of their wives on either side of that, and I think you'll understand.
He not only looked,
I'm just saying.
Not only did he look a lot older, he sounded like everything that came out of his mouth, it was like he had to make an effort to do it.
And I want to know the fact checkers here. I want the MRC or somebody to go through all of the left-wing media networks overnight and find me one of them that accused Bill Clinton of racism for clearly mispronouncing Kamala Harris's name as Kamala twice in the same sentence. He mispronounced her name twice. And when Donald Trump does it, it's evidence of his misogyny and his racism, but it's okay for Bill Clinton to get away with it.
I've heard other speakers at the DNC also mispronounce her name, not even just Bill Clinton.
Mr. Intern Humidor can get away with it, but Donald J. Trump cannot. It's just hogwash. It's just what it is. There's no doubt about that. I thought that was pretty funny last night. We'll get to all of it. If you didn't stay up late, I mean, honestly, I there's no way I was losing sleep over a Democrat speech. It was just not happening. So I did not get to see Bill Clinton, and I didn't obviously get to see Tim Walz. I watched it, the replay of it this morning, because I was not going to lose a minute's sleep over either of those two people. There's no doubt about it. And, of course, Kamala speaks tonight I feel like I can say that with some authority now because Bill Clinton can call her that. So we're gonna check in and get you some. We'll get some reports on all that, and we got some great guests today. Griff Jenkins, by the way, guess what story he's covering today?
Not the border.
RFK Jr. I can't even imitate RFK Jr. His speech is so unusual. The sound of his voice, but he might drop out of this race tomorrow and endorse Trump. Is that a good thing, or is that a bad thing for Trump? I've heard both arguments, and I don't know. I'm not sure I know what to think, but we'll talk more about that here as the morning goes on. It might happen tomorrow. He's holding a news conference in the same town where Donald Trump's going to be making an appearance. So we'll see. We'll get to all that and more for you right after the shortlist, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I grew up in Butte, Nebraska, a town of 400 people. I had 24 kids in my high school class, and none of them went to Yale.
Maybe that's a reflection on the teacher. Do you think? Well, how about a party that celebrates people not exceeding their birth status? How about that? How about a party that celebrates people not achieving the American dream? It's unbelievable.
The massive scandal around the revised job numbers that were just announced, and it really isn't a revision. It's a total lie. Total lie.
If you think for a minute that it was just coinkydink that for the past year they've been lying about the job numbers, just turn the radio off and go home.
We got 70 days to act right, y'all.
That's right.
Now, after 70 days, we can go back getting crazy. Right?
Sometimes when they tell you who they are, you need to believe them. That was one of the congresspeople speaking at a black caucus meeting at the DNC yesterday. We just have to act right for 70 days. Then we can go back to being crazy.
Ask for their help and then follow our leader, Kamala. We need Kamala Harris.
I want to play that on a loop. Can I just tell you that? First of all, he's having trouble speaking these days. Oh, Bill. He sounds like somebody. Have you ever been to, what's the name of that? Somebody's going to make fun of me this morning. At the Lake of the Ozarks, along the strip there north of the dam, they got one of those little junk shops you go into that's got the sand crabs and you can buy all kinds of junk in there. Does anybody know the name of it? Why can I not think of the name of it?
I do not know.
Uncle Simon.
I'm not a lake guy.
Anyway, Ethan? No, they've got a little dude that sits there in a rocking chair when you walk in. He's animatronic, and he's triggered by motion. And when you walk in, he starts talking to you, and he sounds just like Bill Clinton these days. Welcome to Dog Patch. That's it. It's Dog Patch. Welcome to Dog Patch. That's what Bill Clinton has turned into these days. Honestly.
Pulled it out, Mark.
Just took me a minute to bring it up out of my memory.
You had to get in character in order to trigger it in your memory.
I did it. Welcome to Dog Patch.
I salute.
That's what the guy says. Listen,
the neurons.
Listen to Bill Clinton's speech that just popped into my brain when I heard him talk. Go to cut 10 again, Carl, please.
Ask for their help and then follow our leader, Kamala. We need Kamala Harris.
Hey, Nick, Kamala Harris. Welcome to Dog Patch. I just don't know the attraction.
Next time I go there, I will never look at that animatronic thing the same. Thank you for putting that in my brain.
He just needs a cowboy hat. That's what the guy's wearing, and a flannel shirt, and then he'd be set. Anyway, I can't get my brain around that. The Democrats are so afraid of Joe Biden being connected. There was no mention of him last night, right? I mean, I think Clinton mentioned him once in the speech saying he gave up power, and that was very, you just don't understand. George Washington gave up power. Well, George Washington wasn't demented, and he had just saved a country from being controlled by a king. Those are two very different things. When your mind is gone and you have no business running a country, you need to step aside. George Washington didn't need to step aside. He could have run for office again, but he opted not to. Not because Nancy Pelosi came and threatened to, you know, take him out in the middle of the night or whatever she said to him that got him to not run.
Yeah, the DNC has been interesting. I saw part of Nancy Pelosi's speech. I think that was maybe when I went to bed, but they had Oprah, Stevie Wonder. They had Kenan Thompson going out there and reading yet again from the Project 2025, which I'm just want to shake them and say, do you not understand that Trump has not even agreed with that? Even
it's
though I actually
plan.
Would.
I would. Absolutely.
Right. But Trump has distanced himself from that. And yet that's what the focus has been. I mean, we saw the Michigan congresswoman who brought out the big book of 2025. And Kenan Thompson was pulling up, you know, live feeds, or at least that's what they wanted you to think it was, of people like an OBGYN who, I guess, performs abortions and was like, did you know on page 537 of Project 2025, you won't be able to do that anymore? And people are all, wow. Like, I'm like, give that up. Like, that's not even Trump's platform.
It's their boogeyman, and they're just trying to scare the hell out of their voters. And nobody's buying that. It's not Trump's plan. It's a Heritage Foundation roadmap. That's really all it is. My favorite meme of the day yesterday, I sent it to Kim St. Ange from the Babylon Bee. It's a guy sitting on a set of steps with his head in his hand, and it says, Chicago man goes out for lunch to a food truck to get a hot dog, ends up with a vasectomy.
That's a good one. I like that.
A truck driving around Chicago giving vasectomies and abortions. This is the reality of the Democratic Party these days.
But don't you get a hot dog if you agree to get that? Isn't that what it is?
I mean,
that's in exchange for your vasectomy, you get a free hot dog.
I, for one, am in full support of having fewer Democrats in the future. So please drive that truck in circles around the DNC convention, and then we'll have fewer of them down the road. That'll fix that problem. That's what they're after, I guess. Wow. All right, coming up, we'll give away some Doobie Brothers, Steve Winwood tickets, and we'll get to Kim on a whim. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. I was waiting. This is the longest intro. The Steve Winwood intro is the longest intro, isn't it? There it is. And I'm going to be humming this all morning. Thank you, Carl.
You're welcome. That. Love this song.
Steve Winwood coming to Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, along with the Doobie Brothers. The Doobie Brothers are the headliner there, I do believe, according to Carl Middleman.
Yep.
On the
Saturday
24th, night. Which would be 2 days from now, you can go see them. Tickets are on sale. We have a pair of tickets to give away this morning for you to go to that concert. Should be a good time. 314-241-9797, and we will take caller number 13 this morning. Lucky 13. 314-241-9797 to see the Doobie Brothers and Steve Winwood. We will give away another pair of tickets tomorrow on Concert Eve. How about that? So good luck to you. You get the bonus for being up early this morning and listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Keep those phones ringing. Hey, by the way, we are taking comments on the comment line, and you're going to hear a few of those here in a few minutes. But our question was, on the whole pro-life, pro-choice issue, right? Are you pro-abortion but consider yourself a conservative? Or are you pro-choice or consider yourself a conservative? Some people don't like the verbiage there when you say, well, I'm not pro-abortion, but I think people should have a choice. Okay, whatever. If that's you, how do you work that out in your brain, that you are a conservative or you're a Republican, but you are pro-choice? I'd love to know that. And you can get on the Odyssey app and leave us a message. Just hit the little microphone button there below the 97.1 logo, and you'll be able to record a message, and it'll pop up on Carl's computer here a few minutes later. You have 1 minute, just so you know that. Practice it if you need to, but you only have 1 minute to leave your message.
You can take several minutes now to leave it, but you only get 60 seconds for your message.
Yeah. So let's talk media bias for just a minute. We're going to get back to the RFK thing later. I happened to be sitting at my mother's house last night when the CBS Evening News came on, and I watched them report with a gleam in their eye that tonight Tim Walz will tell the nation his story. And they were just so happy. And I sat there and I watched the package they did, And they went to Ed O'Keefe, who's their reporter, and he's talking about how, you know, on the same day that Tim Walz is going to introduce himself to the nation, Donald Trump is making an appearance. Where was he? In North Carolina yesterday, or I don't, wherever he was. They go to him and they play a soundbite from him, right? With a shot of him on the stage, and then they spent twice as much time with a Michelle Obama and a Barack Obama soundbite to end the package. And in the piece, they never showed the crowd. Did you see that crowd that showed up for his speech yesterday? It was huge. One woman passed out in the audience, and Trump left his bulletproof glass to go around it down into the audience, or a person, I should say, and check on the person that
he
passed out.
He hugged her.
Right, or him. I couldn't tell if it was from behind.
It was a woman.
Was it a female?
And he hugged her. I'm sure Secret right. Service swarmed him.
Right. And
she passed out from the heat.
But my point was, this is the bias in the media is also by what they don't show you. They did not want you to see the sides of the crowd that showed up to see Trump. All they showed was a picture of him on the stage. They never show the audience at all. And that is intentional. Drives me batty. Can I just tell you that? We'll get to Kim on a Whim coming up.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Yesterday on the show, we were asking the question, how many of you listening would call yourselves conservative, but you're still pro-choice? Whatever you want to call it, pro-choice, pro-abortion. How many of you would identify as that? I used to call myself that. I used to say I was fiscally conservative, but I still supported abortion because I wanted the women to be able to choose. I have obviously switched my stance on that and now consider myself very pro-life. And I was very interested that, I mean, within minutes of asking that question on the air yesterday, we started getting voice messages from our Odyssey app. And it's not too late if you want to leave one for us.
Yeah, we'll play it later in the show for sure. But it, we did. We got a response from people who either feel that way now or used to feel that way, right?
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting because there's probably more people who would fall under that category than we probably think, whereas abortion for me is enough of an issue where if a candidate wasn't pro-life, there's just no way I could possibly vote for you. There's just not a chance. Now, I do want to say this. 98% of the women who are having these abortions are probably wrecked over it. They didn't want it. They felt like they had no other option. They were terrified. Maybe they were a teenager. There's all kinds of things that could happen. And then maybe they're still wrestling with it all these years later. So I am so sorry if you're one of those people who's going through that. And just know that there is forgiveness. In my opinion, it'd be forgiveness through Christ. But just know that there is forgiveness in that. Of course, you hear the crazies who are on, you know, the liberal TikTok whatever site saying, I want to have an abortion. That's my goal. That is pure evil. If you want it and you're celebrating it, I will never understand that. Let's play some of these because I want you and I, Mark, to be able to respond to some of these. And I just want to get a feel for where people are at.
So you have to leave your name. This is Jack from St. Charles.
Good morning. My name is Jack. I'm a longtime listener of conservative radio, probably going on 25 years now. And you guys just brought up an issue about abortion being a liberal or non-liberal issue. I lean right on everything, but I am, I guess you would consider me liberal on that one issue. I'm a business owner of many years. I'm very fiscally conservative, but I really do wish I understand the concept. I also go to church every Sunday, and I understand both sides of the story. And I just, for once in my life, I'd like that not to be a determining issue.
First of all, thank you for your comment. That was gutsy that you were able to leave that. And I think that's important for a lot of people to hear, especially you saying you go to church every Sunday, because I'll guarantee you a lot of other people who sit in church every single Sunday would also say they are pro-choice. So you're certainly not alone. My question for you would be, like, show me scripture that supports that stance. Show me in the Bible, if you're saying you go and you're a Christian and you sit in church every Sunday, where that is okay in the Bible. Because I can point to scripture, Jeremiah 1:5, Psalm 139, I believe it is, that points to the fact that God knit you in your mother's womb. I chose you. I formed you in your mother's womb. I mean, I can point to scripture that, you know, thou shalt not murder. I mean, there's so many things that I could point to biblically that support my pro-life stance. So what in the Bible supports the stance of being able to choose and have an abortion?
Well, I mean, and the desire that this not be the big issue that it is not, I don't know if that's politically possible, that this not be the big issue that it is.
Well, it's a matter of life and death.
It is. And I agree with you on the fact that I'm not quite sure how you can follow what the Bible tells you and also think it's okay for abortion to be a thing and to be perfectly legal up until the 36th month. And that never happens, is what the left says. Well, then why is it necessary? Why would you ever say that? But just follow the science. Mm-hmm. The people on the left are the ones that tell you to follow the science. There were 20,000 people packing this dome in Chicago for the Democratic National Convention who are ranting, who are passionate about that they have the ability to take a life if they want to. That's what they're passionate about. And that's where I don't understand it. I don't understand the whole rape and incest thing. We've talked about that. But it's such a small percentage of this whole thing. That is not the case in the vast, vast, vast overwhelming majority of abortions. It's a convenience issue, or it's about birth control. It's the most selfish decision you could ever make for a few minutes of passion. I don't understand that. And I don't know. I think that's why it's a big issue.
Well, and keep in mind, I mean, I understand not all conservatives are Christian, okay? This isn't just a religious issue, in my opinion. This is a human rights issue. Why should someone be really, for lack of a better word, not allowed to have to live? I mean, who are you to say that life isn't valuable? I mean, you hear people talk about how, well, the person would have a disability. Some of the most incredible people on this planet have a disability. So would you walk up to them and say, well, I could have justified, you know, not having you and just killing you in the womb? And I don't understand the argument. Let's play another clip, Carl.
Yes. This is a woman named Dawn.
Your comment this morning on 97.1 about abortion in the movie. I've never heard of it, so I Googled it and I watched half of it. And in the first 10 minutes, I was bawling. Yes, it should be required by everyone before they make a decision. Sorry, I got upset.
Wow. What Dawn is talking about right there is the movie Unplanned. And it tells the story of Abby Johnson, the former director of Planned Parenthood, who left and now is very pro-life. And it is gut-wrenching. Watch Unplanned. And I think that's also part of the problem is these people who are very pro-choice, if you want to call it that, they don't know what really goes on in an abortion. And of course, you can take the medication and that can be very, very dangerous for the woman, too, the mom. But just an abortion, if you're going to Planned Parenthood, they're sticking a syringe in through the mom's belly into the baby to kill the baby, basically triggers a heart attack. Then they pull the baby out, clamps, vacuum, and then they quite literally dismember it. And Planned Parenthood, if you go to their website, they want you to believe that baby inside the mom's womb isn't going to feel pain until I think like 28 weeks or something like that is what they try to claim. I've seen studies. In fact, there's one, I think it's called Sage Journals, that will say that there's evidence that the baby may feel pain in the first trimester. I mean, we're talking 12-ish weeks.
It's heartbreaking.
Please go watch. Did I get her name correctly? Did you say Dawn?
Yes.
Okay. Like Dawn did. Thank you, Dawn, for taking the time to watch that. I'm telling you.
And she could only make it halfway.
That is how grotesque it is. I'm telling you, if you support abortion, please go watch that movie, and I would love to message me. I want to hear from you.
The sad thing is the people that need to watch it won't. And as Ronald Reagan once eloquently pointed out, and I'm paraphrasing here, 100% of the people who are pro-abortion have already been born.
Yeah.
Just let that soak in for a minute. It's a good point. We'll continue to take your messages on this. Just click on the microphone there on the Odyssey app. Find 97.1 FM Talk on there. You'll see the logo just below it. There's a button that says live, so you can listen to the show wherever you go. And just to the right of that is a little microphone. And you click on that. All the shows here have it. You can record your message, and it'll pop up on Carl's computer here. And we'll play it back on the air as we go throughout the morning. Wow, that was a fantastic segment, Kim. Thank you very much for bringing that up. Coming up, I just got a text from our friend Griff Jenkins, a Fox News reporter, who's going to be joining us this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. Donald Trump is going to be live on Fox and Friends at around 6:30-ish this morning, our time, 7:30 Eastern. We're going to carry as much of that live as we can, just so you know that's coming up. But Griff is covering what happens if RFK drops out. Where does that support go? He's got an interesting poll that he's quoting here, and we're going to talk more about that for you coming up here in just a minute. Stay tuned. Well, congratulations to our winner of the tickets. Who was it, Kim?
Annette from Moscow Mills.
All right. Congratulations, Annette. We'll give away more Doobie Brothers Steve Winwood tickets tomorrow morning, which will be Friday, which we're all looking very forward to. Aren't we? Absolutely. Hey, by the way, the whole RFK thing that is supposedly going to happen tomorrow, I wonder about this myself. I've worried about this myself. Like, first of all, how much support was he going to draw? Well, apparently he drew more support when Joe Biden was still in the race than he did afterwards. Like, his poll percentage of the vote dropped from around 8 or 9% to closer to 5 once it was Harris, not Biden. You got to assume those were Democrats who just didn't like Joe Biden. So they've now gone back to the other side, and he's at about 5%. Who are the people who are left? That's an interesting proposition. And I heard Mark Thiessen on with Waters last night on Fox talking about who this likely benefits. And he's not convinced that an RFK endorsement necessarily benefits Donald Trump. Listen to his reasoning here on why he believes that to be the case.
Well, it represents actually an opportunity for the Democrats right now, because RFK, the threat that he posed to the Democrats was that Democrats and independents who were unhappy with Harris and Biden had a place to go that was not Trump. Right. So if you don't like this administration, but you can't bring yourself to vote for Donald Trump, there was an option on the ballot today. And if he gets out of the race, how many of those people are actually going to go and vote for Trump if the reason they were supporting him was because they didn't want to vote for Trump, but they didn't want to vote for these guys? So I think in a way, him getting out of the race hurts Trump rather than helps.
That's a smart answer, but I don't like it, Thiessen.
I don't know.
I'm with Jesse Waters on that. It's a smart answer, but I don't like it.
It is a smart answer. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out, because if they staunchly disagree with, you know, Kamala's stance on things and really don't like Donald Trump, are they just not going to vote?
Yeah, there are some who just won't. There are some who will, for whatever reason, they bought in.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Yesterday on the show, we were asking the question, how many of you listening would call yourselves conservative, but you're still pro-choice? Whatever you want to call it, pro-choice, pro-abortion. How many of you would identify as that? I used to call myself that. I used to say I was fiscally conservative, but I still supported abortion because I wanted the women to be able to choose. I have obviously switched my stance on that and now consider myself very pro-life. And I was very interested that, I mean, within minutes of asking that question on the air yesterday, we started getting voice messages from our Odyssey app. And it's not too late if you want to leave one for us.
Yeah, we'll play it later in the show for sure. But it, we did. We got a response from people who either feel that way now or used to feel that way, right?
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting because there's probably more people who would fall under that category than we probably think, whereas abortion for me is enough of an issue where if a candidate wasn't pro-life, there's just no way I could possibly vote for you. There's just not a chance. Now, I do want to say this. 98% of the women who are having these abortions are probably wrecked over it. They didn't want it. They felt like they had no other option. They were terrified. Maybe they were a teenager. There's all kinds of things that could happen. And then maybe they're still wrestling with it all these years later. So I am so sorry if you're one of those people who's going through that. And just know that there is forgiveness. In my opinion, it'd be forgiveness through Christ. But just know that there is forgiveness in that. Of course, you hear the crazies who are on, you know, the liberal TikTok whatever site saying, I want to have an abortion. That's my goal. That is pure evil. If you want it and you're celebrating it, I will never understand that. Let's play some of these because I want you and I, Mark, to be able to respond to some of these. And I just want to get a feel for where people are at.
So you have to leave your name. This is Jack from St. Charles.
Good morning. My name is Jack. I'm a longtime listener of conservative radio, probably going on 25 years now. And you guys just brought up an issue about abortion being a liberal or non-liberal issue. I lean right on everything, but I am, I guess you would consider me liberal on that one issue. I'm a business owner of many years. I'm very fiscally conservative, but I really do wish I understand the concept. I also go to church every Sunday, and I understand both sides of the story. And I just, for once in my life, I'd like that not to be a determining issue.
First of all, thank you for your comment. That was gutsy that you were able to leave that. And I think that's important for a lot of people to hear, especially you saying you go to church every Sunday, because I'll guarantee you a lot of other people who sit in church every single Sunday would also say they are pro-choice. So you're certainly not alone. My question for you would be, like, show me scripture that supports that stance. Show me in the Bible, if you're saying you go and you're a Christian and you sit in church every Sunday, where that is okay in the Bible. Because I can point to scripture, Jeremiah 1:5, Psalm 139, I believe it is, that points to the fact that God knit you in your mother's womb. I chose you. I formed you in your mother's womb. I mean, I can point to scripture that, you know, thou shalt not murder. I mean, there's so many things that I could point to biblically that support my pro-life stance. So what in the Bible supports the stance of being able to choose and have an abortion?
Well, I mean, and the desire that this not be the big issue that it is not, I don't know if that's politically possible that this not be the big issue that it is.
Well, it's a matter of life and death.
It is, and I agree with you on the fact that it's I'm not quite sure how you can follow what the Bible tells you and also think it's okay for abortion to be a thing and to be perfectly legal up until the 36th month, and then that never happens is what the left says. Well, then why is it necessary? Why would you ever say that? But just follow the science. Mm-hmm. The people on the left are the ones that tell you to follow the science. There were 20,000 people packing this dome in Chicago for the Democratic National Convention who are ranting, who are passionate about that they have the ability to take a life if they want to. That's what they're passionate about. And that's where I don't understand it. I don't understand the whole rape and incest thing. We've talked about that. But it's such a small percentage of this whole thing. That is not the case in the vast, 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 overwhelming majority of abortions. It's a convenience issue, or it's about birth control. It's the most selfish decision you could ever make for a few minutes of passion. I don't understand that. And I don't know. I think that's why it's a big issue.
Well, and keep in mind, I mean, I understand not all conservatives are Christian, okay? This isn't just a religious issue, in my opinion. This is a human rights issue. Why should someone be really, for lack of a better word, not allowed to live? I mean, who are you to say that that life isn't valuable? I mean, you hear people talk about how, well, the person would have a disability. Some of the most incredible people on this planet have a disability. So would you walk up to them and say, well, I could have justified, you know, not having you and just killing you in the womb? And I don't understand the argument. Let's play another clip, Carl.
Yes. This is a woman named Dawn.
Your comment this morning on 97.1 about abortion in the movie. I've never heard of it, so I Googled it and I watched half of it. And in the first 10 minutes, I was bawling. Yes, it should be required by everyone before they make a decision. Sorry, I got upset.
Wow. That what Dawn is talking about right there is the movie Unplanned. And it tells the story of Abby Johnson, the former director of Planned Parenthood, who left and now is very pro-life. And it is gut-wrenching. Watch Unplanned. And I think that's also part of the problem is these people who are very pro-choice, if you want to call it that, they don't know what really goes on in an abortion. And of course, you can take the medication, and that can be very, very dangerous for the woman, too, the mom. But just an abortion, if you're going to Planned Parenthood, they're sticking a syringe in through the mom's belly into the baby to kill the baby, basically triggers a heart attack. Then they pull the baby out, clamps, vacuum, and then they quite literally dismember it. And Planned Parenthood, if you go to their website, they want you to believe that that baby inside the mom's womb isn't going to feel pain until I think like 28 weeks or something like that is what they try to claim. I've seen studies. In fact, there's one, I think it's called Sage Journals, that will say that there's evidence that the baby may feel pain in the first trimester. I mean, we're talking 12-ish weeks.
It's heartbreaking.
Please go watch. Did I get her name correctly? Did you say Dawn?
Yes.
Okay. Like Dawn did. Thank you, Dawn, for taking the time to watch that. I'm telling you.
And she could only make it halfway.
That is how grotesque it is. I'm telling you. If you support abortion, please go watch that movie. And I would love to message me. I want to hear from you.
The sad thing is the people that need to watch it won't. And as Ronald Reagan once eloquently pointed out, and I'm paraphrasing here, 100% of the people who are pro-abortion have already been born.
Yeah.
Just let that soak in for a minute. It's a good point. We'll continue to take your messages on this. Just click on the microphone there on the Odyssey app. Find 97.1 FM Talk on there. You'll see the logo just below it. There's a button that says live, so you can listen to the show wherever you go. And just to the right of that is a little microphone. And you click on that. All the shows here have it. You can record your message, and it'll pop up on Carl's computer here. And we'll play it back on the air as we go throughout the morning. Wow, that was a fantastic segment, Kim. Thank you very much for bringing that up. Coming up, I just got a text from our friend Griff Jenkins, a Fox News reporter, who's going to be joining us this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. Donald Trump is going to be live on Fox and Friends at around 6:30-ish this morning, our time, 7:30 Eastern. We're going to carry as much of that live as we can, just so you know that's coming up. But Griff is covering what happens if RFK drops out. Where does that support go? He's got an interesting poll that he's quoting here, and we're going to talk more about that for you coming up here in just a minute. Stay tuned. Well, congratulations to our winner of the tickets. Who was it, Kim?
Annette from Moscow Mills.
All right. Congratulations, Annette. We'll give away more Doobie Brothers Steve Winwood tickets tomorrow morning, which will be Friday, which we're all looking very forward to. Aren't we? Absolutely. Hey, by the way, the whole RFK thing that is supposedly going to happen tomorrow, I wonder about this myself. I've worried about this myself. Like, first of all, how much support was he going to draw? Well, apparently he drew more support when Joe Biden was still in the race than he did afterwards. Like, his poll percentage of the vote dropped from around 8 or 9% to closer to 5 once it was Harris, not Biden. You got to assume those were Democrats who just didn't like Joe Biden. So they've now gone back to the other side, and he's at about 5%. Who are the people who are left? That's an interesting proposition. And I heard Mark Thiessen on with Waters last night on Fox talking about who this likely benefits. And he's not convinced that an RFK endorsement necessarily benefits Donald Trump. Listen to his reasoning here on why he believes that to be the case.
Well, it represents actually an opportunity for the Democrats right now, because RFK, the threat that he posed to the Democrats was that Democrats and independents who were unhappy with Harris and Biden had a place to go that was not Trump. Right. So if you don't like this administration, but you can't bring yourself to vote for Donald Trump, there was an option on the ballot today. And if he gets out of the race, how many of those people are actually going to go and vote for Trump if the reason they were supporting him was because they didn't want to vote for Trump, but they didn't want to vote for these guys? So I think in a way, him getting out of the race hurts Trump rather than helps.
That's a smart answer, but I don't like it, Tisa.
I don't know.
I'm with Jesse Waters on that. It's a smart answer, but I don't like it.
It is a smart answer. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out, because if they staunchly disagree with, you know, Kamala's stance on things and really don't like Donald Trump, are they just not going to vote?
Yeah, there are some who just won't. There are some who will, for whatever reason, they bought into the lies of the left for the past 5 years, 6 years, about how what a horrible person Donald Trump is, despite all of the evidence that his policies worked. The 2% interest rates, the $1.80 gas, all those things were a direct result of Donald Trump's energy policies and fiscal policies, bringing jobs back from overseas, money back from overseas, spurring the economy. We had a great economy. You have to take the pandemic out of that, right? I mean, it hit right at the end and obviously had an impact on the election. But the things were good under Donald Trump. You can't deny that. I've worked for good bosses and I've worked for bad bosses. I didn't like all the good bosses. They were good because they effectively ran the business. They knew how to run the business, but maybe they were hard asses, and I didn't appreciate their approach to me at all times, but I still respected what they did. And then I've had bad bosses who were the nicest people you've ever met but couldn't manage their way out of a paper bag and knew had no idea how to run a business. And you've got to separate those two. It's not a popularity contest. You need somebody who's an effective chief executive to run this country, not just somebody who's an airhead who wants to be president of the United States because she thinks it'll be fun. And that's not a gender assignment there. She happens to be a she. But you've listened to the cackles. You've listened to the word salad. You know she's the definition of what you'd call an airhead. She just is. We've all known them in life. That is who Kamala Harris is. And there's a great new ad out. I'm going to play it for you a little later from the Trump campaign, pointing out all of her radical positions the last time she ran for president. This is what she's hiding from. You have to understand that. And the Trump campaign is doing an effective job in these swing states of reminding people of all of her radical positions up until she suddenly decided that she had to become a moderate to lie to people to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
From banning fracking to giving free health care to illegal aliens, right down the line, all of these crazy things, raising corporate taxes. I mean, she's in it for the Bernie Sanders of the world. Now, let me read you this tweet from Griff Jenkins this morning. He says he's reporting this morning a New York Times Siena poll in blue wall states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. More swing state RFK Jr. voters in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania would back Trump over Harris, according to this poll. 41% of Kennedy voters said they would back Trump. 27% of Kennedy voters said they would vote for Harris. And the source on that is a New York Times Siena College poll, August 5th to the 9th, of 2,000 likely voters in those three swing states.
It's big.
It's good news. Speaking of Griff Jenkins, he's going to join us live at around 8:35 this morning. So stay tuned for that, or listen to it on the podcast, wherever you download your podcast, if you have to miss it. All right, we're back in just a minute. We're going to hopefully talk to a Jonathan Savage, and we'll carry Donald Trump's comments live at 6:30.
Get more at 971talk.com.
congratulations to our winner of the tickets. Who was it, Kim?
Annette from Moscow Mills.
All right. Congratulations, Annette. We'll give away more Doobie Brothers Steve Winwood tickets tomorrow morning, which will be Friday, which we're all looking very forward to, aren't we? Absolutely. Hey, by the way, the whole RFK thing that is supposedly going to happen tomorrow, I wonder about this myself. I've worried about this myself. Like, first of all, how much support was he going to draw? Well, apparently he drew more support when Joe Biden was still in the race than he did afterwards. Like, his poll percentage of the vote dropped from around 8 or 9% to closer to 5 once it was Harris, not Biden. You got to assume those were Democrats who just didn't like Joe Biden. So they've now gone back to the other side, and he's at about 5%. Who are the people who are left? That's an interesting proposition. And I heard Mark Thiessen on with Waters last night on Fox talking about who this likely benefits. And he's not convinced that an RFK endorsement necessarily benefits Donald Trump. Listen to his reasoning here on why he believes that to be the case.
Well, it represents actually an opportunity for the Democrats right now, because RFK, the threat that he posed to the Democrats was that Democrats and independents who were unhappy with Harris and Biden had a place to go that was not Trump. Right. So if you don't like this administration, but you can't bring yourself to vote for Donald Trump, there was an option on the ballot today. And if he gets out of the race, how many of those people are actually going to go and vote for Trump if the reason they were supporting him was because they didn't want to vote for Trump, but they didn't want to vote for these guys? So I think in a way, him getting out of the race hurts Trump rather than helps.
That's a smart answer, but I don't like it, Thiessen.
I don't know.
I'm with Jesse Waters on that. It's a smart answer, but I don't like it.
It is a smart answer. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out, because if they staunchly disagree with, you know, Kamala's stance on things and really don't like Donald Trump, are they just not going to vote?
Yeah, there are some who just won't. There are some who will, for whatever reason, they bought into the lies of the left for the past 5 years, 6 years, about how what a horrible person Donald Trump is, despite all of the evidence that his policies worked. The 2% interest rates, the $1.80 gas, all of those things were a direct result of Donald Trump's energy policies and fiscal policies, bringing jobs back from overseas, money back from overseas, spurring the economy. We had a great economy. You have to take the pandemic out of that, right? I mean, it hit right at the end and obviously had an impact on the election. But the things were good under Donald Trump. You can't deny that. I've worked for good bosses and I've worked for bad bosses. I didn't like all the good bosses. They were good because they effectively ran the business. They knew how to run the business, but maybe they were hard asses, and I didn't appreciate their approach to me at all times, but I still respected what they did. And then I've had bad bosses who were the nicest people you've ever met but couldn't manage their way out of a paper bag and had no idea how to run a business. And you've got to separate those two. It's not a popularity contest. You need somebody who's an effective chief executive to run this country, not just somebody who's an airhead who wants to be president of the United States because she thinks it'll be fun. And that's not a gender assignment there. She happens to be a she. But you've listened to the cackles. You've listened to the word salad. You know she's the definition of what you'd call an airhead. She just is. We've all known them in life. That is who Kamala Harris is. And there's a great new ad out. I'm going to play it for you a little later from the Trump campaign, pointing out all of her radical positions the last time she ran for president. This is what she's hiding from. You have to understand that. And the Trump campaign is doing an effective job in these swing states of reminding people of all of her radical positions up until she suddenly decided that she had to become a moderate to lie to people to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
From banning fracking to giving free health care to illegal aliens, right down the line, all of these crazy things, raising corporate taxes. I mean, she's in it for the Bernie Sanders of the world. Now, let me read you this tweet from Griff Jenkins this morning. He says he's reporting this morning a New York Times Siena poll in blue wall states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. More swing state RFK Jr. voters in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania would back Trump over Harris, according to this poll. 41% of Kennedy voters said they would back Trump. 27% of Kennedy voters said they would vote for Harris. And the source on that is a New York Times Siena College poll, August 5th to the 9th, of 2,000 likely voters in those three swing states.
It's big.
It's good news. Speaking of Griff Jenkins, he's going to join us live at around 8:35 this morning. So stay tuned for that or listen to it on the podcast, wherever you download your podcast, if you have to miss it. All right, we're back in just a minute. We're going to hopefully talk to a Jonathan Savage, and we'll carry Donald Trump's comments live at 6:30.
Get more at 971talk.com.